Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the GSMC Baseball Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Jeff Malinoff, and we are going to have a brief episode on baseball, because baseball is fun, and baseball is America's pastime, and America is apple pie. That made connections, right? And, of course, if you want to be a cajillionaire, you play baseball. Because, like we said, we talked about last episode, I just hit my head, leg on the table, I'm okay though. We talked about the huge contracts that Harper and Machado got, as well as the potential contracts that, that Mike Trout is going to get. And we were talking about, and I was discussing, well, maybe he could very possibly get a $400 million contract, because honestly, that's not out of the ordinary. Honestly, in the next, like I said this as well, in the next 5-10 years, I can see a $500 million contract, and then it will continue to rise. I don't think it'll ever get up to $1 billion. But I can see it getting to, at most, 750. But that's like 20 years from now type of thing, you know? That's like a quarter of $1 billion right there. Or is it 3/4 of a billion? Whatever. But that is the highest I'll ever imagine it going. But in the foreseeable future, like 2025, I guess you can say, yeah, I can see a $400 million contract happening. I can see a 450 happening. Do I see if I see it going up to 500? I would assume it's going to happen by like 2030, but that's not for a long time from now. But I think we're going to get to a point where the contracts are going to rise by that much, and I can even see, like, I know the contract was like for Bryce Harper, it was like a 13-year, 330 contract. I can see it getting to like a 20-year contract. Like, I don't think that would be a crazy thing to think about. I mean, we thought 13 years is low for what Bryce Harper got. So why is 20 for 400 such a long shot? It's not. It really isn't. And so with that being said, I just have to make a point that, like, I guess the question does remain, like, who would get this massive contract? Is it someone playing right now? Let's face it, probably not. It'll probably be a guy, a high prospect that's been possibly a very really amount of the guy that's in the minor leagues right now, that's a number one prospect for them, or the first round pick for a team that comes into the MLB and comes into the main roster, comes into the majors, and really just shines like Bryce Harper did, or so, and such. And putting it into a perspective, like, yeah, then I could see that guy getting the contract. As for any current players in baseball, I honestly don't see a guy getting that much high of a contract, because I think it's too far away for it to happen. And since guys in the MLB will be like in their close to 30s by this point, or close to their four, like, or retired, or whatever, however you want to put it, the top players at least, then no, I don't see them getting to that point. But for people that are actually in the minors, who, like I said, first, second, third round picks, or whoever, can be the next star, if you will, then absolutely I could see them getting that big time contract. But again, it's such a it's a touchy area because we really don't know how it's going to come about. And these contracts are going to continue to rise and continue to rise and continue to rise. And, like, you can also look at the NFL. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo a year ago had the biggest contract in NFL history for a quarterback, and it was beaten, I think, the very next season or even that off season. So these things change over time of how much, like, every time you rise that price for the highest paid player in the league, you're going to have to rise the price for the next guy and the next guy and the next guy. So it's going to continue to rise and rise and rise to a point where you might not be able to rise anymore. Like, so that's what I'm thinking, like, to a point where it's going to be like, you know, I think we need to stop at 500. Or there might need to be rule changes in where we got to say, you know what, we got to have an exact max contract that you can't go higher than for an extension or for anybody in ever. Like, I'm not saying, I wouldn't say salary cap or anything like that for baseball because I'm pretty sure they don't have that. But they need a point where you can pay out that you cannot pay one player past this much. And I think that money will be like $500 million, that is. And if it doesn't get to that point and they say, no, you can pay them however you want regardless, that's going to be an issue into a point where not only are you going to go up past like $500 million and get scary close to that $1 billion, but you're going to waste money on these one guys thinking they'll change your team. And then when you need more guys around them to have a supporting cast, if you will, and a better pitching rotation, because you can't just have one guy that's going to be good in the pitching rotation. You got to have more guys in the pitching rotation, obviously. Then you're stuck because you just paid $750 million on one power hitter, and you're stuck in the loop of having a terrible pitching rotation. Like, how many times have we seen a team with an amazing hitting go and not get it done in the playoffs? We saw it this year. I mean, we saw it with the Nationals when they had Bryce Harper in his MVP year in 2015. I mean, let's look at Bryce Harper's stats in 2015, where he won the MVP. He led the league in slugging percentage, on-base percentage, OPS, also led the league in home runs with 42, 118 runs, that led the league, 172 hits, his batting average was 330. That didn't even lead the league, but he still had 330 batting average. And now, with the contract he got paid, mainly it was because of that MVP year, and he also was being very consistent. I mean, since he started in the league in 2012, he has had almost 200 home runs in a span of 6 years. His average home run mark, like, this is his home run since 2012. 22, 20, 13, 42, 24, 29, 34. So he gets roughly around 25, 26 home runs a year. So with that being said, like, the question I want to ask is he going to be an MVP again with the Philadelphia Phillies? Because now he has this massive contract. Is it going to be worth their while? And, you know, that's a tough question to answer, all things considered. But with how old he is, too, he's extremely young for the contract he's worth, obviously, too. And the picture's already him in a Phillies hat, so it's weird. Is it weird? Is it just me, or is it actually weird seeing him in a Phillies jersey? It's weird, right? It's weird. He's only 26, granted. That's why his 13-year contract isn't as crazy, because he's so young. And can he win? Like, I would say he can win the MVP in the next 5 years. And people call him the five-tool player, and I get that. Six-time All-Star, NL MVP, Rookie of the Year, Silver Slug, Hank Aaron, Home Run Derby winner last year. He was a home run leader in 2015, and like I said. So all of, like, his main accomplishments, Silver Slugger, Hank Aaron, MVP, home run leader, all that stuff, happened in 2015. And since then, it's kind of gone a little bit down, all things considered. and his career batting average is .279, but I don't know why it couldn't go up. He's in a weakened NL East. He made the NL East strong. He went to the best team in the NL East, arguably. And they call that the division of death. As in, on the top of the ladder, there's so many talented teams. There's a talented team in the Phillies. You can add the Braves to that as well. But at the bottom of the barrel, they're so bad that they're going to take high advantage of them. So that's why I think Bryce Harper can easily win an NL MVP yet again in the next couple of years. But he can't swing erratically. Like, he's had some trouble in the past with swinging really erratically and swinging at bad pitches. Like, I've seen that happen many of times. His strikeout levels are pretty high as well, all things considered, based on his stats, you know, his career stats. I mean, if you look at his career, let's look at his career stats, shall we? Let's head on. Come with me. Come with me, and you'll see in a world of true imagination. Okay, anyways. For strikeouts, he has 834 strikeouts. Last season, he had his career high was 169 strikeouts. That was last season. He got walked the most in his career 130 times, though. So I guess it kind of evens out, but no. His batting average was the worst of his career at .249. Second worst. 2016, he had a .243 batting average, but he played less games. So, yeah. Gotta put that one in perspective. On-base percentage was still high at .393. Slugging was .496. That's one of his highest, actually. So, with that being said, I think he still needs to improve to get back into his NL MVP form, because he's kind of lost a little bit. He's kind of dropped a little bit, honestly. But when it comes down to it, it's going to be one of those things. You're looking at it and going, yes. I think he needs to win at least an MVP in the next 4 or 5 years for this contract to really be like, oh, he was worth the money, you know? So I think there is a test for Bryce Harper, definitely. Like, people are like, oh, this team's going to win the World Series. I'm saying hold your brakes. He kind of had this same amount of talent around him in Nationals, maybe even better, and they couldn't get the job done. So maybe we're overthinking his impact on the team. He still needs to win a World Series. He still needs to be clutch in the postseason. Like, he still hasn't really, to me, he hasn't really proven that he can get it done in the postseason. There's still a lot to go on. Again, he's 26 years old. He's got plenty of time. It's not crazy to say that he's past his prime, or he's never going to make it there. He's 26. He's got a 13-year contract. I would say the first 7-8 years is his best chance to win a World Series. And I could be wrong too. He could 13 years. I mean, again, plenty of youth in him. So that's an excellent opportunity. So I guess the question is, like, how is it all going to be handled? Well, maybe not handled, but more along the lines of, like, how are the Phillies going to build around him? Because they signed him that huge contract. They're building around him the next season and the season afterwards. Every offseason is going to be revolving around Bryce Harper and making him better. And making the team better, obviously. I really don't know how to else describe it, but you know, when you have a guy like that and you paid him all that money, you got to do it. You got to build around him, make him better. That's just the name of the game. But we're gonna take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be looking at the spring training records and seeing if this is gonna be a shadow of things to come with the regular season. This could be a short episode, so we'll have one segment left, and we'll be right back right after this.
Mm-hmm. This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. We're finishing up the day, short day here. And what I was talking about Bryce Harper and the contracts, and I honestly think that's all true. But you know what? Let's pass that and let's get into the important stuff. And let's get into the standings. Maybe they're not important, but they're what my next topic stands for. And they're the standings for the spring training. Or I guess the standings for the spring training is a strong word. There's not really standings. I guess the spring training records, they keep track of that. So looking at this, I'm going to try to see if this is a sign of things to come or is this a fluke? So we'll see how all this goes on. I guess they do. MLB.com calls it standings. So we'll look at the American, there's two leagues. There's grapefruit and cactus. Cactus, there's food inside of it, so it makes sense. But grapefruit tastes disgusting. Who hates grapefruit? I hate grapefruit. It tastes too sour. It's gross to me. Anyways, so with the best record in the grapefruit league, I guess that's how it's explained, it's the Atlanta Braves at 11-8. But not too far behind them, half a game behind them, are Baltimore, Minnesota, Washington, and Philadelphia, 9-7. And another weird thing is, like, the Yankees are in first at 9-6, and Atlanta's at bottom 11-8. I kind of get why, like, 9-6, 11-8 are two different things, like, obviously. But that means they have different games played, no? Like, 9 plus 6 is obviously 15, and 11 plus 8 is obviously 19. So, obviously, Atlanta's played more games. So shouldn't they be ahead in theory? I'm not gonna try to make sense of this. But at the bottom of this grapefruit league is Boston, the reigning champions at 6-12. So is this what? And they've lost 7 in a row. By the way, they've lost 7 in a row. Yankees won 3 straight. So actually, the team with the longest win streak is the Marlins right now, and at a 5-game win streak at 9-10. So they were 4-10 at one point. Now they're 9-10. But I know spring training is a lot of minor league guys playing in the big league type of thing. But doesn't this show like how their prospects are doing and how like the future holds for their prospects? Like, isn't that a theory that we should maybe consider based on that fact? And with that being said, maybe we should be looking into more long lines of like, should we be worried about the Red Sox's future? Should we be worried about their future based on, like, if they're, like, I understand their starters are playing as well, but wouldn't prospects be also playing in the spring training as well? Like, don't you get invitations to spring training and stuff like that? So, for that being said, I might have to worry. I'm not going to say I'm going to be worried about the Red Sox tanking this year. I think tanking is a strong word in that case. I would say more along the lines of maybe worried about a tough season this year. Of course, it's going to be a tough season. They're in the AL East, one of the toughest, maybe the toughest division in the league. And with that being said, I think we also have to look at the facts that, like, with Boston being at the bottom of their division or the league or however you want to put it, it's going to be an interesting thing to look at when you look at how the actual season's going to progress. Now, I'm not going to say, like, oh, they're destined to be bad or anything, because obviously they're still going to be one of the favorites to win the World Series, because I don't think they lost anyone very crucial. I don't think there is anyone any crucial they lost, to my knowledge. And, of course, Boston's just been one of these great franchises where you're looking at it and going into a point where, like, you can't stop them. You can't even contain them. They have just a great pitching. And that's the thing. What's winning them World Series at the World Series, yeah, they have some positive hitting. They had a World Series. They had an NL. They had an AL MVP and all that good stuff. But one of the things that they get and they consistently play at a high level is their pitching rotation is always stellar. Their pitching rotation is always clutch. Their pitching rotation is always at that point where you're looking at it and going, yeah, they're not going to be easy, regardless if they're in the bullpen or in the starting lineup or their closer. That's the thing. That's the tough thing to look at in a place where when you're thinking, oh, they're not doing so well right now. Well, once they get their bullpen rolling, once they get the pitching rotation rolling, they had 108 wins for a reason last season, and that bullpen, that pitching rotation is key to that as well. And, of course, they had amazing hitting with Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez and all those great guys. Don't get me wrong, but winning championships comes and ends in pitching. Why do you think the Dodgers continues to lose back-to-back? Wasn't their hitting. I mean, their hitting kind of slacked during that two World Series. But, man, their pitching wasn't up to par of what they were at the beginning of the season and in the beginning of the playoffs. And with that being said, like, look at the San Francisco Giants as well. They're three World Series in 5 years. It wasn't their hitting that got them there. It wasn't their wasn't power hitting by any means. They were actually, in 2012, they had the least home runs in the league in their home stadium. So looking into that, you also have to look at the important factor of their defense. Brandon Crawford's arguably the best shortstop in the league defensive-wise. And with that whole, that infield defense at top-notch and the pitching rotation during the 2010, 2012, and 2014 World Series with their bullpen at arguably the best, it's hard to deny that gave their hitting some more confidence in hitting because they knew they can get the, they knew they could hold them to like one or two runs because of how good their defense and how good their pitching was. So with that, I say I'm not worried about the Red Sox one bit. That was my point. They could struggle on offense, sure. Everyone does eventually. But with their pitching still I believe they're still in elite form, they're going to be fine. The Yankees are a big question mark because their pitching is never their strong, has not been their strong suit recently. It's been their hitting. So they're kind of the opposite of the Red Sox, but they still made the playoffs and all that good kind of stuff. But regardless, they lost in the postseason because they were just outpitched. That's just how it was done. And to really get back at them, to really get past the evil empire known as the Boston Red Sox now, not no longer the Yankees. It's the Yankees that need to really improve their pitching and improve, like maybe trade deadline moves. I'm not entirely sure how they're going to do it. Maybe they have prospects down in the minors they could add. But I think they need help still in the pitching rotation. I know they're 9-6 in the spring training, but of course, spring training is a big question mark, of course. So we'll see how everything goes, but honestly, I'm really liking to see how that Grapefruit League is going and more interested in seeing how the Phillies do. And it looks like Bryce Harper's playing extremely well in the spring training as well, so that's something to look at. Now let's go to the Cactus League. And guess who's in first? Manny Machado, the San Diego Manny Machados. Just kidding, it's the San Diego Padres. At 11-5, below them is Kansas City, who had one of the worst records in the league last season at 12-8. Well, not that wasn't their record last year. I believe they had over 100 losses last year. So, and then at the bottom of the barrel, it's Cincinnati at 5-10. And so, let's see, the reigning two-time NL champions, Los Angeles Dodgers, are in the middle of the pack at 9-8. Now, looking at this, just this whole lineup here. We have Oakland, Cleveland, and Chicago, all double-digit wins. The Angels of Anaheim, LA, Planet Earth are at 10 wins themselves. Milwaukee's at 10-10, .500. if I'm going to make a educated guess on, let's look at the NLCS for a second. I already said the Red Sox are most likely going to repeat because of their rotation. But when it comes to the National League, and it was the Milwaukee Brewers versus the Los Angeles Dodgers, it was kind of like hitting versus hitting almost. Like, now Clayton Kershaw was the starting pitcher there, and they had good starting pitching over in Milwaukee as well, but it was also Craig Counsell's kind of judgmental, oh, I'm going to have him pitch two pitches or one batter and rotate. So there are some risky things with Craig Counsell, and there are big question marks about Craig Counsell when it comes to his managerial skills on the defensive side and the pitching rotation side. But I do see them possibly make another run again. But to be completely honest, looking at just San Diego, is Manny Machado their savior? Is Manny Machado going to take away all the bad luck they've had and turn it into an NL West contender? Well, no. And I'll tell you why. Because their pitching is still above average at best. Their defense, I mean, Manny Machado is a pretty okay defender. He's a good defender, all things considered. He's mainly known for his hitting. But, man, there are some bad defensive efforts I've seen with the San Diego Padres in the last year or so. So that's a serious concern to me, is their defense. And, you know, their rotation is not that deep, and their bullpen is not that deep by any means. And I don't even know their closer is anything but. But they just need so much more work, in my opinion. And it's just like the Phillies. They didn't make the playoffs last year either. So with the addition of a franchise player in Bryce Harper and a franchise player in Manny Machado, you need more help around them. You need more help in the pitching and the defense, because you have your hitter. You have a guy that you can rely on in your hitting, sort of. But you need help with the defense. I cannot stress enough the help, the defensive stuff. I would pick defense over offense in baseball any day of the week. And we're close to opening day. We're getting there in the closeness of opening day. And if I had to make an actual guess on who's winning right now, if I had to make a guess right now based off all the knowledge I've gathered of who's going to win the National League and the American League, I already said Boston's repeating as American League champs. As for the National League, you know, with how they are playing, and they're just consistently good, I was going to say the Dodgers, but I'm having my doubts here, because usually at that, the third time's a charm type of feel, it's not the same. So, and losing Machado doesn't help that either. I might have to go with an underdog type of thing. And if I'm going with an underdog, I'm going to probably go with an NL West team. I'm not picking the Giants by any means, but maybe the Rockies. Maybe the Rockies can make that run, because people liked them last year too. They were very talented last year. They were keeping up with the Los Angeles Dodgers. That is a big possibility that that could happen. But, you know, last time, again, that would be kind of funny, because the last time the Colorado Rockies made their only World Series appearance was in 2007 against the Boston Red Sox, where they got swept. So could we see history repeat itself? Could we see a change in history or a repeat in history? I would like to see a rematch like that. It would be a good story. Like, oh, they got swept in their only World Series appearance against the champion Red Sox. Now the Red Sox are coming off another World Series appearance in a win, and Colorado has been forgotten ever since. Colorado returns, looking for revenge, looking for redemption, looking for a championship. I just wrote the whole story. I just wrote the hype video. You're welcome, MLB. I'm expecting royalties when this matchup happens. So I'm not forgetting this, because this is recorded. I will have it. So if this ever happens and that kind of hype ever happens, I am going to ask. Well, okay, I'm not going to ask for royalties, let's be honest. But I'll I'll think about saying, hey, I should get royalties, but probably won't in the long run. Regardless, I think that should be our show today. Thank you so much for joining us. And as always, I'm Jeff Malinoff, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.